Hello, hello, and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be starting Ted Lasso Season 3.
Yay, which will be perkier and happier than The Crown Season 5.
Well, I hope so. We haven't watched all of it.
No, and that's because we can't.
This is odd because we're doing this very different from what our actual show is supposed to be, which is binging. We are watching it weekly on Apple TV Plus. And so that is going to be how we are going to be releasing episodes. We're going to do one a week instead of two a week because we can't do any more because Apple TV Plus does not release everything at once like Netflix does. So we're stuck like this, and we hope you don't mind. But I think honestly for Ted Lasso Season 3, I think we can make an exception for it.
Oh, sure. And I think that we're also going to get that first reaction, because yes, we're not going to be able to watch it and watch it again and that kind of stuff.
We did rewatch it again. I think I'm going to try to maintain that. I'm going to try to watch it once the Wednesday it comes out, and then watch again maybe the next day or something, give myself some time to stew. I don't know if I'm going to be able to maintain that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'm going to try to pay as much attention to it as possible so that I can absorb as much as I can with the second rewatch. But I think the thing is, we want to cover this as soon as possible. And if we started anything else, we would be sidetracked with that. And then we'd be trying to, in our leisure time, trying to watch Ted Lasso. And then we're going to be like, well, now we want to cover it. It was going to be too complicated if we tried to do it otherwise. So we are going to be covering it weekly. We also have a yin cat here, which is not a yang cat.
Right. It's unusual for us to have a yin. We are very grateful to have her, actually, for our podcast episode. She hasn't been feeling very good. So
yeah,
we are very excited to have yin as a guest cat.
We're hoping that our yelling makes her feel better.
Yeah. Speak for yourselves. I'm not yelling. Of course, that's why most people can't hear me. So that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, but I am. It's okay, yin. No, she's right next to me. Yeah. And we want to give Yin a shout out because we love her.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And we hope she feels better.
We do. So we are starting Ted Lasso Season 1. Season 3, Episode 1, Smells Like Mean Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fun.
Okay. This is not actually...
Well, what about our disclaimers,
Oh, right. We have disclaimers, caveats, all of the things. And if you haven't been listening, you really should be. So our disclaimers are our usual ones. There will be cursing, there won't be spoilers because we don't know what's coming. But if you haven't watched the previous episodes of Ted Lasso, you may have spoilers because.
And if you haven't watched Season 3 yet, you will have spoilers.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we also are having things to drink, and we're pretty tame today. What are you having?
I'm having lemon ginger tea.
Yep.
I don't know why, I wanted it. So
lemon ginger tea is tasty. So, and it's soothing and calming, and it's a good herbal whatever. I am having basic bitch coffee. This is not even one of my fun flavors of coffee. It is just Colombian K-cup, blah, blah, blah coffee with a little bit of milk. But I did put some shortbread out because, shortbread is a Ted Lasso thing too. So
biscuits in general. Yep. All right. So it starts with Ted. Okay. We're getting into Season 3, Episode 1, Smells Like Mean Spirit. It starts with Ted taking his son, Henry, to the airport after a 6-week long vacation over the summer with him in London. Mm-hmm. And my dad pointed this out, but it starts out with making you think that Ted's going home to Kansas. Mm-hmm. Because they're not saying Henry Lasso. They're saying just passenger Lasso, and you see him texting Michelle, and in the phone it says Michelle Lasso and not mom.
Right.
So
I mean, it's kind of what kid has Michelle Lasso instead of
mom? If you're not close to your mom and you just want to call them by their name, but I find that weird. I have my parents as dad and mom in my phone. So
I have my parents as mom and dad in my phone. So
yeah,
that's how it goes.
And we find out that Henry made Ted a gift, which is the Lego, a Lego version of the Premier League trophy. And he's like, you can have this one until you get the real one. So we're hoping that in the Premier League, they're going to win.
Yeah. It's a little bit funny though, because you hear Ted's son echoing some of the Ted things when he's talking to the stewardess who's going to get him on the plane. He says, he talks about some things about, oh, you know, I don't really want to go back to my country's political landscape. But then he also says, amen, Big Ben, and some stuff like that. So he's
clearly, we're hearing Tedisms,
right, coming out of him. And anyway, that's part of the benefit of like actually spending time with your children, which is
starts gold. It starts to rub off on your children. And then he goes on the plane. It's really cute. And then Ted, on his way back to his apartment, calls Dr. Sharon to talk about the drop off, and she's like, well, how are you feeling about it? And he's sad because obviously you don't want to say goodbye to your kid. I mean, he's gotten to spend more time with him, which is nice, but now he's going to again feel that much more distance because it's not like just a couple hours drive, it's a whole other country. So you're not going to be able to see them every other weekend like a normal like parent who, well, okay, it depends on custody, but still,
right? So I like how they do this though, because you have Ted kind of narrating, talking to the doctor, giving exposition, and this montage in the back, and you see him doing what people do. You know, he goes home, he's cleaning up Legos off the floor.
Yeah, his kid made the whole stadium out of Legos and made figurines of everybody, and Roy's is just like so it's so funny, like
it's like little a mean faces. Face.
Yeah. And he actually made a figurine of Nate, but he's like off to the side because he's estranged, but that's discussed later. But I mean, it's so cute that he made the whole stadium. You see like a little Keeley, a little Rebecca. I think you even see Higgins.
Yeah.
And you see the whole team on the pitch. It's really fun.
Yeah. It is really cool. And he tells as he's cleaning, Ted is telling a story about how, you know, his father had like left him at school overnight, and he had to clean up, and he made a present for the janitor who cleaned up with, because the janitor like paid him, and he was going to pay him back with this present, but the janitor got hit by a train.
Yeah.
Oh, and the doctor says, I didn't see that coming. And Ted's like,
neither did he.
Yeah, exactly. It's really
funny. And then he's like, well, can I ask you a personal question? She's just like, fine, whatever, yeah, you can ask me a personal question. And he's like, all right, so are you seeing anybody? And she's like, no comment. And then he's just like, well, which team are you with right now? Like, she's moved on to a different team to be their doctor. So he's just like, and she's like, I can't tell you. And then it's like, well, what sport? And it's like, I can't tell you that either. And it's like, all right, so how many Australians are on the team? And she's like, 9. And he's like, ah, rugby. And I'm like, okay.
And he talks about how rugby as a sport is basically, I've forgotten which two.
American football and sumo wrestling had a child.
Yeah, basically.
But she's just like, goodbye, Ted, and whatever, and he's heading into work. And then we see Dr. Sharon, and she goes into her room, and there's this really hot guy. I think he's Australian, and he's just like, oh, have you gotten off of work yet or something? He doesn't say off. I know, I was specifying, but have you gotten off yet? It's like, no, not yet. And then I'm like, okay, good for you, Sharon.
Thinking you're having an ethical dilemma, because if this is somebody from your team, that might be a problem.
She might just be in Australia and having sex with an Australian guy. So
that's possible.
It depends.
Totally
problem. Hopefully it's not a problem like that. He also is telling her that he's worried that him staying in London is hurting the team more than helping, even though he was able to get them unrelegated. It's like, there's still a high possibility of them getting relegated again, and it's going to be all his fault. And he feels a little bit guilty about that. Yeah. I can also tell he's still feeling bad about Nate and
that entire situation. He has a lot of conflicts going on. And I think, you know, the obvious and large one is that his son has gone home and without him.
Well, you also see him during that little montage when he's like walking to work. He sees a little child with a page cap kind of thing. And he's like, oh, I think I've seen you on that TV show, Leaky Diapers, instead of Peaky Blinders. I appreciated that joke.
It was apropos. But he also, the wanker guy flips him off.
Yeah.
It's just.
Usual suspects.
Right. But again, there's kind of almost he doesn't really feel at home even now.
Yeah.
So that's seriously an issue. But then we have the opening credits, and I noticed because that they had graffiti on the seats.
They've always had that.
Yeah, but I never really read it, and I didn't look as carefully, but it seems like some of the graffiti is relevant, so I need to start paying attention to the graffiti because it gets erased.
Yeah.
So Rebecca's having a discussion with Higgins about sports blogging, and you know, she's pissed because all the sports bloggers are putting Richmond as coming in last,
which is 20th
and getting relegated again. And she's talking to Higgins about it, and Higgins is like, "Oh, my son started a sports blog, and he was in his kitchen.
Well, she was talking about how it's like, "Oh yeah, these are just like sports bloggers that live in their mother's basements," and he's like, "That's actually an outdated like idea because our son, who's 10, has his own sports blog, and he does it in our kitchen."
Right.
So it's not.
But that's for tax purposes.
Yeah. But yeah, they're worried that literally every single paper is saying that they're going to be relegated.
Well, and Rebecca asks Higgins, "Well, where did your son put us?" And he's like, "La la la."
You know, he starts like gagging. Like, I think I noticed that he just has like gag reflex to like everything that's like bad press for the team at this point, where like, and it comes up later on and I'll mention it then, but yeah. And then Ted comes in.
I love this. This is another one of those let's quote musicals things. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening, which is from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah.
Isn't
that King Herod's song?
It could be, yeah.
I think it might be.
But yeah.
I haven't seen that show in a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. But you know, Rebecca's clearly upset, and she's very focused on not only have they put Richmond last, but Rupert's team, West Ham, is first. And she keeps referring to it as Rupert's
it's top four. But yeah, they're as like
Rupert's going to beat us, and Rupert's predicted to finish for above us, and Rupert.
And Ted's like, "Well, isn't it?" And like, "Rupert's playing?" Yeah, no, it's like Rupert's team. Rupert's going to beat us. And it's like, "Rupert's playing?" It's like, "No." And it's like, "Oh, his team, West Ham United." Oh, okay. No, that's different than just Rupert on a field beating us. But, it would be really funny. But she's constantly just being like, it's specifically Rupert trying to beat us. And it's not just the team. It's the concept of just him and Nate trying to beat us. And it's like, okay, well, Rebecca, you clearly still have some unresolved issues, but I don't blame you. Because he's basically just declared war. So.
Right. And Rebecca also tells Ted, you know, like this kind of, cause he's kind of milquetoasty about, you know, like, "Oh, everything's going to be fine. Oh, the guys are going to take care of it. We don't need to get new players."
Because that's their idea. That's Higgins and Rebecca's idea, is to bring in new players, fresh blood, to like really amp up the team, to make sure, to ensure their victory. And he's just like, "Oh, they'll be fine." It's like, "No, we don't want fine. We want to win." And it's like, okay, yeah, we'll figure it out. But like, but he mentions that the team is gelling really well right now, and so he doesn't want to ruin that chemistry, which I get. I mean, like, that's a big part of it, and that's the whole reason why they were losing before, because they just weren't working as a team. And now that they have more of a good dynamic, you don't want to ruin that. You don't want to bring in some random guy to be like, I'm guessing that's probably going to be what happens next episode. Just saying. The best part about the way we're doing this now is that we can predict stuff for next episode and be completely wrong.
Right. Right. So, no, and I do think that is.
So we're not even spoiling. We're just predicting.
We're just predicting. But one of the things Rebecca says is like, "Look, you sat on that couch and you sprayed Pellegrino all over me, and you said that we were going to win the whole thing, right? Win
the whole fucking thing." And Higgins is like, "Wait, you what?" Because you never hear Ted curse, really.
No, but he did. And so she's like, "You know, that happened. That's the guy I want. I want a fighter." And he's kind of like, "I said that? Oh, okay." Yeah. Well, yeah. And he's kind of still being like, "Well, maybe."
He's being wishy-washy. I think the thing is, at this point, he's just said bye to his son for months. Like, I mean, he's not going to see him for a while. He's
wishy-washy about everything.
Yeah, he's feeling wishy-washy about everything, including like just being in London in the first place and if he's helping the team. Right. So then Rebecca's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go meet up with Keely for lunch. I need some girl talk." And she's just like, "What?" And Ted's just like, "We'll say, like, tell her that I say howdy." And then he looks at Higgins, is like, "And you say," and it's like, "Yo."
Diana Higgins is hilarious.
And then he kind of questions this, like, "Oh, yo, yo," and it's just like, no, it's fine. it kind of works, I guess.
It really is not fine. And then we get to see Nate showing up to work. And he is
No. We have the team seeing the bad press first.
Because the team is
seeing all this bad press online. It's like, oh, these people are like saying no, that we're going to be last as well. And then there's this whole thing about one of the players. I forget his name, and I feel very, very bad.
I think it's Terry. A nun told him that he should fake an injury
to avoid the misery. And then, somebody is just like, wait, well, did you tell her to piss off? And then it's just like, no, it was a nun. And then everyone like does a sign of the cross, including Danny.
Yes.
Jamie's like, oh no, we won't get relegated. Don't worry, because they're together, and together they have him. And right. I'm just like, okay, so at least he's not completely had a 180 in his character. I think that's fine.
He's still Jamie,
but at least he's thinking he has a team and being like, well, he's trying to be more of a team player. You can tell.
Right. So we also
also has this hair that's not great. But okay.
So Roy is, and then we cut to Roy and Coach Beard
talking about Hoosiers
in the office. But yeah, Roy's like, I liked it, but why do they call it Hoosiers? It's like, and
he just doesn't get it because he's not American.
Yeah, he's not from Indiana, which of course no one even in Indiana understands what a Hoosier is.
Yeah, I don't get it either. So
yeah, it's just, you know, it's like being a Buckeye in Ohio,
whatever. Ted, it's clear Ted knows more about the game because Roy is talking about this new tactic he wants to use. It's an old tactic that he wants to use, just like the 2-4-2, whatever.
4-4-2.
4-4-2. And it's just a classic setup that all of the players should know.
Right. And he wants to use it all season because, as he put it, there is no reason
for them to get it wrong.
Right. It's more important to be solid than to be clever when you're the underdog, is the way he says it.
And then they have this whole discussion about like how there's no overdog, but it's like, well, and then Beard just goes on this whole thing about like, oh, in German, it's like Unverhound or something. And then
we just call it
top dog.
And it's like, oh.
And yeah, then they say, oh, yeah, I guess that's West Ham. And then, like, Roy growls and whatever. And then we see Nate going into work. He still drives his crappy car.
Yeah. But there's this super fancy facility, and people are speaking to him, and he just either ignores them or is mean to them.
Yeah, he's just a dick. And then he's still in his social media bubble of just looking on Twitter and seeing all these nice memes about him, about like, oh, look, it's the Wonder Kid and all that stuff. And he's still stuck in that little echo chamber of goodness for him.
That's where he's getting his self-worth. And that's really not...
You need to have some self-worth, dude. I'm sorry.
Right. It's really sad.
It's sad because you can see anybody going through that and getting a lot of stuff from that. I mean, that's why a lot of people go on social media or post on social media anyway. For affirmation, for the likes, make you feel better or whatever. I mean, it's just it makes you feel better, but to what end? It's not going, like, and even if I like a post, it's not necessarily, I don't know, it just,
well, right,
it's complicated.
It's also that he's not interacting with the people that are actually there, who are not there in any critical kind of way. They're not being mean to him.
No,
they're excited, they want to be part of the team,
they're being nice to him. He could be getting positive affirmations from other people, from real people face-to-face, who you could actually get to know and be friends with, or you could get it from nameless people on Twitter. And he prefers nameless people on Twitter,
apparently, which is very sad.
He's
not in a really solid headspace, I would say.
No, I wouldn't. And then we go over to Rebecca visiting Keely at her office, which is like it's a pretty like stereotypical office of like people are taking their work seriously, and then there's Keely in her office like trying to make things bubbly and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean the office itself has these, you know, like girly kinds of colors, and it's kind of a feminine style office.
But you have these like office people,
they're looking a little scared.
The employees are just kind of like when Rebecca comes in and Keely like goes crazy about like, oh my god, it's Rebecca, this is Rebecca, and introduces her and all that stuff. And then they're just kind of like, okay, can we get back to work now? Yeah, like, exactly. I don't care. And then they go into her office and they're talking about how the reason, like, they got a good deal on the building because the last manager or office, like, head of the building or corporation or whatever groped somebody, and so that it didn't make anybody look good.
Yeah, but stuff. She's like, I've got all these features, like, apparently there are blinds on the interior window.
Yeah, and also Rebecca says one man's grope is another man's woman's gain, I suppose. And it's like, okay, sure, I guess. I don't know. But then she uses the blinds, and then she's like, Keely starts crying, and then Rebecca's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then she's like, I'm just so busy. I also have to schedule in a time for me to sit in my office and cry. Like, right. My schedule's just that full. And I'm like, oh my God, girl.
That's kind of crazy. So then we cut over to the training that they're doing for the team, and they're talking about, like, the bad press that they're getting, and there's a discussion between Jamie and
Danny.
Well, and actually
and Sam.
And they're all talking about the, you know, like, that they're getting ratings involving marmalade sandwiches, and they're talking about Patty.
Yeah, and Jamie's just like, out of 5 marmalade sandwiches, we've got no marmalade sandwiches. And Danny goes, even that sweet little bear doesn't believe in us. I'm like, oh my God.
It was hilarious.
I didn't catch the Danny's line the first time, but I figured with marmalade sandwiches, they were talking about Paddington. And
even that sweet little bear. So yeah, then we we have Ted and Beard, and they're talking about, hey, you know, it looks like we need to have class outside. And Roy's like, what are you talking about? We are outside. And they're like,
And they're talking about how the pundits are like, they're the reason the team is distracted is because of the pundits, like, saying that they're not going to do well. And Roy says, fuck pundits. And then it's like, but weren't you a pundit? And it's like, yeah, but all we did was talk shit and eat fucking meringues. And I'm like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
And what you see Will, the new kit boy or whatever, in playing with the ball in the background, it's really funny. Like,
I noticed
it the first time, and
it
was funny.
Cute. So,
but they're basically gonna have a field trip.
Right. And so they call for the bus, and Ted's like, everyone run except Roy. And you see Roy just like walking meaningfully.
Well, to be fair, his knee's still fucked up, so yeah, I mean, it's fair.
It is funny. So,
but also they had this whole little thing about the bus driver being a failed cult leader or something. It's not really that important, but it's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, they have a couple of sides about the bus driver, like him being a hippie and whatever. It's kind of
fun. That's later.
And so we cut back to Rebecca and Keely, and Rebecca's like, oh yeah, crying is like an orgasm of the soul. We need to get that done. But when she starts talking about how Rupert must be so happy with all the things the pundits are saying, Keely's like, yeah, he's still like taking up living space in your head. Yeah, that's just,
you're not letting him do that as well.
Absolutely.
And to be fair, I mean, it is a rival team, but at the same time, you're thinking of it not as a rival team, but as just your rival at being Rupert.
Right.
And just being between these two divorced people still fighting it out for whatever reason.
And Rebecca's trying to downplay it. She's like, well, I used to want to destroy everything that he ever liked. Now I just want to beat him. It's like, no.
That's still not that great.
No, but it really is not.
It's still not that much like development. But she's also mentions that she's worried that Ted's not worried enough about everything because he's again being very nonchalant about it. And then Keely's CFO, her chief financial officer, comes in and tells her that it's kind of ridiculous to spend £200 a week on flowers for the office, which it is ridiculous. If you're going to do that, you could do it out of your own pocket or something. But
It's not a business expense.
And Keely, once the CFO leaves, she keeps just referring to her as CFO. And Rebecca's like, chief financial officer. And she's like, oh my God, that's what that means. I just kept calling it corporate flying object, like UFO, but CFO. Right. I found that really funny.
Right. Because apparently the company, her marketing company is
a
corporation.
Yeah. And so the CFO just came with that. So.
Right. So for her to get financing, this is what she has to deal with. And she's not really thrilled with somebody looking over her shoulder about money, because I don't think money is really a Keeley thing.
No. And then she also says, oh yeah, me and like Keeley and Roy are going to have the talk with Phoebe later. What talk? We're going to find out.
Yeah, we are. And I was hoping it was a different talk.
I was hoping it was a different talk too.
But it's not.
I think we're giving it away what it is. But
so again, Nate, then we go back to Nate, and Nate is doing training. He puts a player on what he calls the dum-dum line.
Which, I'm sorry, they were just warming up. How did he already become a dum-dum at this point?
Yeah, and did you explain
and why were there? And also, why were there people on the bench for warm-ups? Like, yeah, everyone should be warming up, and you shouldn't have to make substitutions for, like, just training.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If it was, like, a scrimmage or something, that's one thing, but, like, it wasn't. I'm confused on why they did
it.
But
Nate gets summoned to Rupert's office. Rupert's office, and I noticed this, it looks a bit like the throne at Dragonstone. It's got this big, like, you know, like circle window behind
Where
he sits, and it's kind
we
of.
We recently rewatched, well, she recently rewatched. I've recently, for the first time, watched
House of the Dragon,
which, whatever, we're not going to cover that. But
Matt Smith is great.
Yeah.
So Rupert is happy that Richmond was picked last. And he asks Nate, like, how could they be, you know, picked 20th? What do you think about that? And he's like, oh, well, because there isn't a 21st.
Yeah, and that was funny.
Hilarious.
I mean, it's funny if you don't think about how we love Richmond. So, I mean, it's a
funny line.
It's fine. And then
Nate's car is being towed.
It's being towed from the lot because I think it's like a cleaner's car and they just like snuck in or something. But Nate explains, no, it's my car. And he's like, okay. And then Rupert also says he believes in him and he knows that he's going to make him proud. And it's like, okay.
But you can tell in this whole exchange, one of the things that I kind of like is that Nate is not sure he belongs there. He's a bit overwhelmed. He's got that old Nate awkwardness in the back of his head. He's still like, you know, the guy who does laundry.
Yeah, I think that I put it this way in my notes. I said that like he is a dick to anybody under him, but anyone over him, he's still unsure of where he stands.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
And then we see that the Richmond team is going to the sewers. And the bus driver.
The bus driver.
He's just like, you really shouldn't have just like called a hippie last minute. So I'm just going to go take
some
drugs.
Toad venom. He's going to smoke toad venom. And you know, Ted asks Beard, like, is he going to be okay to drive the bus? He's like, oh, he'll be fine in about 20 minutes. But, you know, just.
He'll be forever changed, but he will be able to drive. And then, so they all are going, he's like, okay, here's the manhole cover. He like takes it off and he's like, all right, Sam, go down. And then.
But there are bystanders. Construction workers who are like, hey, Roy Kent, is that you? He's like, fuck off. Or get fucked. I'm sorry.
Get fucked.
They're like, oh, it's Roy Kent.
Yeah. It's like how everyone knows it's Roy Kent. And then
how we can be sure.
Then you see Higgins coming into a rug's office. Higgins is looking for new recruits. And he like sees marks on Rebecca's shirt. And it's Keeley's makeup.
It's
like, oh, Keeley
mascara marks.
Yeah, it's like Keeley crying, and he's like, I've had this shirt, and he also has some on his shirt. He's like, I've had this dry cleaned like 6 times, and I still can't get it out,
which is very, very sad.
Yes, and then there will be a press conference with Nate that Rebecca's going to watch, and then you see,
yikes.
Then you go back to the team in the sewer. They're taking a tour of the sewer. And they're just like, why are we here? And it's like, oh, no, me and my son, Henry, we went down here because he accidentally watched It. And so it's better
to face his fears.
Yes. And because nothing's scarier than a clown.
In the sewer.
And then we get back to the press conference and Nate starts quoting The King and I. Yeah. Because they ask, oh, so how are you getting on with the team? And he's like, oh, it's been great. Getting to know them, getting to know all about them, getting to like them getting to
hoping that they like, and then he like realizes that this is not going well and he freezes and he like puts his head down behind the desk.
He starts having flashbacks to him being bullied.
But here's the thing, he's having a panic attack, which is exactly what he made fun of and leaked out about Ted. And that's part of
he probably doesn't even know that it's a panic attack though.
Well, I'm not saying that he does, but it's kind of like,
oh, it's very hypocritical.
Yes,
it's
extremely
hypocritical.
So he then, you know, gets We cut back to...
Well, he spits, then he gains confidence.
Yeah, and that's spitting on, you know, his image kind of thing, whatever. And he gets some confidence. And I'm not...
He starts insulting the reporters for because of their questions. Oh,
your question's just so stupid. And he's just demeaning the people, which is how he...
felt.
That's how he feel. What makes him feel good.
Yeah, and then Ted is telling the team that they are surrounded by poop up in the on the surface, and are blocked up, and they need to create an internal sewer system within themselves, and then connect them with the whole team, and so that they can get traits from other players. Like, if you need a confidence or ego boost, you go to Jamie. If you need just some happiness, go to Danny. If you need like good wine selection, go to Richard. and he's like, you know, fine wines, really good wines doesn't have to be expensive. And everyone goes, ah.
Yeah, it's cute. But it is kind of an interesting thing, you know, that they also talk about how they need to just really create a flow where like the dookie just flows out of them, like they don't get stuck with it. So
yeah, and then
Ted is really, really mean in the press conference.
He does the 21st joke, and then he also, when the sewers, them going into the sewers gets published, he's just like, oh well, no wonder they're practicing in the sewers because their coach is so shitty. And then everyone laughs and all that stuff. And the team sees, when they get back, they see what Nate says. And you can tell they're hurt because they did eventually stick up for Nate. Most of them continued to stick up for Nate, regardless of like if he was the kit man or not.
Right. And Ted was thinking, Beard, I think, or Roy wants to go out and address what's going on. But, you know, they're told to stop. And Jamie is just like, oh, it's just poopy, let it flow, whatever. And it's kind of...
You learn from the lesson. And Danny's like the sewer. And it's like, yes, Danny. Yes.
Good job, Danny.
Yeah. And then, or he says like bingo Ringo or something. I don't know. Yeah. And then Rebecca like texts Ted, and in his phone, it's like Rebecca...
Duboss.
Yeah. And... and then she's upset at Ted that like he skipped training to go to a sewer and wants him to address it, and how Rupert is basically laughing at her at this point, and she wants him to fight.
Yeah, she's really upset.
Yes, because she feels very humiliated. And then Ted has a press conference.
Right. And he's asked about Nate's comments.
Yeah, by the new independent reporter. It's no longer Trent Krim, the independent. It's I don't know what the guy's name. But new dude. And then Ted basically was like, oh, I thought Nate's comments were hilarious. And he compliments him. And he's like, well, I wish him the best. And he's a very smart guy. He can find a weakness in the other team and really just capitalize on it. Like he's doing.
But then he does this thing. He's like, I just am kind of surprised he didn't do more, you know, talk about what a dumb American I am.
And he's right there. I mean, you could have done it. And
he goes through a whole series.
They do a call and response of, I'm so dumb. And they're going, how dumb are you? And he's like, oh, I thought I always put in text that pounds as LBS. Yeah. And I look like Ned Flanders cosplaying as Ned Flanders.
Yeah.
And there's the Field of Dreams joke
that they don't get.
I'm so corny. I'm cornier than, is it Kevin Costner's?
Costner's
outfield.
Yeah, they're like, they don't laugh because they don't get baseball jokes.
And Rebecca gets this text from Keely being like, thank you. Good job for letting Ted be Ted.
Right.
Because that's what she mentioned earlier in the
Let Ted be Ted. And it's interesting because you see that it's coming over to Nate, like, who's the wanker now? It's
Nate. Like, all the memes are now going against Nate because Ted's killing him with kindness and self-deprecation is just, it's working. And that's how Ted is anyway. So I mean, it's just, he's working. And then he's angry, and then Nate's mom texts him. He's like, oh yeah, we saw you on television. Your dad didn't like that you were swearing, but he'll get over it. And it's like, okay, I didn't really get much from that, but okay.
Right.
Obviously, they have like a strained relationship, especially him and his dad have a strained relationship.
Yeah, the expectations are
high.
But again, it's almost just a personality thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Rupert has bought Nate a car. It's, I believe, a Bugatti.
I have no idea.
And
it's a nice car.
It's a very nice sports car.
Oh, And then we go to the next scene.
Which is Phoebe.
Well, it's Keeley and Roy talking to Phoebe. Phoebe
right. Gets... Yeah, but it starts with ice cream. She's like, I get ice cream before dinner. That must mean either I've been very good or you two have done something very bad.
Yeah, and she basically is like, all right, so what's going on? And at the same time, they both say different things because they have different connotations. Because mm-hmm. Keeley says, we're taking a break. And Roy says, we broke up. Yeah,
right.
So that's very different. Because, and it's interesting that they are doing, I think it makes sense which character is saying which thing at this point.
It does. It does. But, you know, obviously Keeley thinks, you know, this is an ongoing thing that might change and we might be back together again anytime.
I hope so.
And Roy's kind of acting like it's past tense because he's always Mr. Decisive.
Well, right? At this point, yeah. Like Keeley at the end of season two was just like, oh yeah, you go on that 6-week vacation, babe. I'm going to stay here and start my business and I don't want to go on vacation with you. And to be fair, again, it was a stupid gift to give her because it was
bad timing.
But I think that her saying that in the first place already gave him doubts. But then them making this decision of like either going on a break or breaking up it makes it feel more final for him than for her, because she's kind of just going with the flow at this point. She's trying to figure things out in another place she doesn't really have time to really think about what's going on.
I think that's who Keeley is too. Keeley is not somebody who closes any door unless she absolutely has to. She is not somebody who does things abruptly, and Roy definitely is that guy. So they're talking about it, and Keeley's like, oh, but we wanted you to know that you could get together with me anytime. And
because she's
like, well, that's great, but why?
And then she's like, because we thought you would want to hang out with me. It's like, oh no, I get that, but why are you breaking up? And then this is they look at each other for a second. It's like, we're just so busy. And she's like, you were busy before. And then they're just like, well, we're more busy now. I'm running a company and he's doing coach stuff,
right? And Roy's like, I've got this and I've got that. And Keely's kind of like, look, Roy,
I know you're
scared about that, but you know, like, we're here for Phoebe, kind of like, stop talking about you,
yeah,
kind of thing. And Phoebe is like, well, you know, it makes sense. You've only been together a year. Most relationships can't survive one major career change, let alone two. So yeah, it's kind of my philosophy that everything changes. She's such an adult.
Because her parents also got a divorce when she was little, and she's still little, but yes. I will say I don't like the headband she has in the scene. It's just kind of like way too forward on her forehead for me, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but no, she is clearly, as she always has been, a little bit too much of the adult in the room.
Yeah, and then when Keila's like, do you want to talk about it anymore? And she's like, no, I'm good. And then what in the car later, she's talking to Roy. He's like, hey, Uncle Roy, are you sure you're doing the right thing? And then he's just like, I don't know. And she's like, can I say a bad word? And he's like, sure. And then she's like, I think you're being stupid.
I love that, because the kids, you know, and this was true when you were in school too, is like, stupid was the worst word.
Oh, I got in trouble for saying, I got in trouble for saying sucks. But
stupid was like one of those words that you were never ever allowed to say in school, and I kept thinking, well, that's stupid.
But it's also interesting because we know that Phoebe has cursed in the past, and she's gotten in trouble at school for cursing in the past, so I guess this is character development for her. Like, she's gotten better about cursing. She also wants Uncle Roy to be better about cursing as well, but that's not going to change. But then Ted is walking back. He's talking to Beard about how he's still unsure about being in London. And then he talks to Henry on the phone and shows him the Legos. And Henry's like, oh, why is Nate off to the side? And he's just like, oh, because he's not part of the team anymore. And then he's just like, yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't still be friends, right? And he's like, no, you're right, we can still be friends. And so he puts the figurine Nate next to his figurine.
And then he tells his son, he says to Henry, like, you know I wouldn't be away from you if I didn't have a good reason. And you know I have a good reason, right? Like, basically, tell me what my reason is again. And Henry's like, well, yeah, because you're there to win the whole thing. And he's like, well, yeah, but maybe, you know, winning is not everything. Maybe, you know, that's not the whole thing. And he's like, Henry says, but you have to try, right? You got to try.
You're not going
to
give up.
Right.
And then you see that Michelle's new quote-unquote friend, Jake, got Henry the Infinity Gauntlet, and
it lights up.
Yeah, and now Ted's gonna be jealous.
Yeah, and that's the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we have a lot of unsettling stuff going on.
Well, I mean, it's the beginning of the season, so you're setting up a lot of stuff. There's a lot of big change.
Right. So, I mean, what are we seeing as being set up here? Obviously, we're seeing...
Well, you know, I think we should talk about that in, after overall grades.
All right. Okay. So, best. What's your best part?
I have quite a few. I like Ted's tactics of kindness, like him being like, oh, no, Nate's great, but I'm surprised he didn't come up with worse insults for me. I really do love that. It's very on brand for Ted, and I think that them responding well to it is great. I also love the team building and the dynamic of the team now, because it's a lot more kind, and like Jamie's become much less of a dick. I mean, he's still an egotistical narcissist, but he at least is seeing that he's trying to add value to the team, and it is a team. It's not just him. And I just love all the players on the team. They're really funny. And I hope to see way more of them. Then I love Phoebe. My God, Phoebe.
Phoebe Pudding? What are we
doing? No, Phoebe.
This was not Trevin Lambing.
Don't worry. Phoebe poking holes in Roy and Keeley's logic of like breaking up, because it's very true. I mean, yeah, they're both busy, but they were busy before and they were able to work through it way like easily before. Like, why is this an issue now? And it kind of, and her just like questioning Roy afterwards, just being like, are you sure you're doing the right thing? And he's like, no, I don't know what I'm doing. But to be fair, it's not just Roy's decision. It's also Keeley's decision. And her being wishy-washy about it, I don't think is helping Roy.
No, I don't either.
So,
but, you know, again, she's one of those people, she's going to string people along, I think, for as long as possible.
Because she doesn't want things to end. And she also...
She doesn't want to be mean to anybody either.
No. And she loves Roy. She loves Phoebe. She doesn't want any of those relationships to be strained at all, but she's trying to focus on herself.
But she's also insecure about her job. So
yes. And then also I will say I'm kind of mixed on Rebecca, because
she's back to old Rebecca almost.
Kind of. She's trying to change, and she's trying to think that she's changed, but she hasn't really made the strides of, like, maturity there. Like, she's not, like, I get it. Like, again, it's a weird situation, because even if she was trying to move on from that, she can't avoid him now that he's a rival to her team. Right. So you're going to be interacting with him in some capacity, and especially given that Nate's on the team, they're going to have more press about the fighting and the dueling and the whatever rivalry. But I think that her giving into that perception of like, oh, they are rivals, they are going to be awful to each other again. Like, not to say that Rupert was ever not awful to Rebecca. I'm just saying that Rebecca letting it affect her the way it did in the past is not development.
It's not healthy,
but again, it's understandable given the circumstances. So I'm kind of mixed on her. What about your best parts?
I liked Nate doubting himself, that sense that he still is, he's not 100% sure that he's in the right spot. I love Danny always.
Oh, I love Danny. The marmalade sandwich.
I mean, and this is going to be a constant for any Ted Lasso episode of Roy Kent.
Yes.
Because he's awesome. Jamie stepping up.
Yeah.
I love Phoebe.
I love Phoebe.
As inappropriate as it is that Phoebe has to be the adult in many of these situations, someone's got to be the adult. So I do love that there's that voice in there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was pretty much it. What were your worst parts?
Nate, and Rupert. The thing is, I can understand where Nate is coming from of like, he wanted to feel like someone was believing in him and he felt neglected. And so he went over to someone who says that he believes in him, literally says it out loud, that I believe in you, you're going to make me proud.
Oh, like Ted never said that? That's
no,
bullshit.
I'm not saying he didn't, but from Nate's point of view, he wasn't giving him his full attention, even though,
I don't know why. Prestige. That has always been a Nate thing. He wants prestige.
He wants everyone to love him, but not for the right reasons. He just wants to be. He just wants the fame and he wants people to like him online and for him to get that
affirmation.
The affirmation. And and all that stuff. And you could tell from a mile away where it was going with, like, as soon as he mentioned, like, had the car, old car almost towed, you knew he was going to get a new car. So that was pretty easy to see. And then, but new presents are only going to go so far. Then also Keely and Roy breaking up. I hate it. I think that it makes sense because they're at weird places in their lives of, like, they're, Roy's going to have to take on more responsibility as the tactician on the team, and he's trying his best. And Keely is starting this whole company. She's way in over her head, and she's, and you can, again, like, with her crying and putting all the mascara marks on everybody, I think that that's a perfect opportunity for Roy to emotionally support her and to be there for her. I don't think she needs another thing adding to her, like, large, ever-growing pile of distress and emotional stress and stuff.
She's the one who started it.
I'm not saying it's not her fault. I'm just saying that she should think about it more and to, like, understand that maybe I should not have done that. But again, it's not always going to be a mutual decision. So, if one of them swaying more than the other, then you can't really do much about that. But I think that them breaking up sucks. I hate it. I love them together. I hope they get back together by the end. If they don't, I'm going to cry. Also, Michelle's new boyfriend. I think that's just going to be a stupid plot line.
If they really follow that.
I hope they don't, because we all know how that's going to end. And obviously, like, they're going to try to do the twist of Ted's going to take it really well, or he's going to at least try to take it better than is expected. But I think that's obvious of how Ted is as a character. I mean, we all know that he's going to take it, and he's going to, like, offer the other cheek or, like, whatever. He's going to be more positive about it in the long run. But I think that the problem is we already know that's going to happen. So I think that then following that kind of, it makes sense.
I really hope they don't.
It makes sense in that it was bound to happen. She's going to move on at some point. And Ted is eventually going to have to think about moving on as just a concept.
Moving on from her?
Yeah.
From the doctor? You mean years a therapist? Or what are you talking about?
I'm talking about Michelle.
Oh, okay. Oh, Michelle's new boyfriend. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about
the doctor. I don't care. Sharon having a new boyfriend is not relevant at all. Like, it was just supposed to be a fun little thing of, oh, this is what Sharon's doing. No, that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. But
yeah, I'm sorry.
I do like that he is talking to Sharon as a therapist. I think this is going to be something he's going to have to talk to her about. If they include her in the rest of the season, or if that was just a one-time thing, I have no idea. But
maybe the occasional thing, right?
Yeah, I don't really love that trope. It's rampant in a lot of shows with romantic relationships being a main thing. When even in this show, it's not even a main thing. It's just like, oh, someone's moving on. But they tend to do that really well. Like with Roy and Keely, Jamie didn't really care. He was he moved on the day after him and Keely broke up.
Yeah, but then of course he goes back to her.
Well, yeah, but it took time. But I mean, it's just, and I thought it was kind of stupid then. But I think that, I mean,
I don't know.
I don't like that they're using that. It makes sense that it's going to be something that he's going to have to grapple with. He was going to have to grapple with the idea that she was going to in the first place, but I think that it actually happening is kind of, it's going to be a boring plot that I don't love.
Yeah, I'm worried that it's going to be like that. I think that, are you done with worst parts?
Yeah, I'm done with worst parts.
All right, so I didn't write down a lot of worst parts, although as you were speaking, I was thinking about it. My biggest ones were, of course, Nate being a dick. And because I guess he's taken over from Jamie being a dick. Mm-hmm. And then we got Ted doubting himself. I know that that is a setup for the whole season, of course. You know, Ted
going to go back to Kansas if they get relegated or not.
Right.
Or even if they win the whole thing.
Does he stay?
Does he go?
Right. So it's the old Clash song, right? but yeah, so when you were mentioning the thing about Keely and Roy, I actually don't mind that there is a breakup here.
I don't really either. I just am sad. Sorry.
And of course I am sad. I do love them as a couple, especially, you know, anything with Roy is great. But my thing about not minding it here is for the course of the season, you kind of want to have some tension in their relationship and you know, some reason to have them on screen. You know, right. If things are going great, it's okay. And you know, they created tension last season that I thought was pointless and stupid. This at least has legit, you know, issues. Like, she's not sure she can handle the relationship and her career stuff and, you know, all the stuff going on. She's feeling very unstable. And, you know, Roy does and doesn't, but mm-hmm. he's also somebody who likes to be decisive. All right. You know, you're feeling doubts, fine, bye. You know, and I kind of see that in a relationship. I just don't like stringing people along, and Roy's not going to be that guy. So, and he's not going to be strung along because, you know, he's also somebody who can pretty much, you know, get whatever he wants. Keely is the same way. She can get whatever she wants. She just doesn't know what she wants.
Right.
And I find that annoying, especially if they do that too much, because they did that a bit too much
last season.
But I'm curious about how they're going to play that out.
Well, I'll talk about this after, like, we talk about predictions.
Right.
I think that's going to be another segment that we're going to have to do.
Right. So how'd you grade this episode?
Oh, was that your last bad part?
Yeah.
Okay. I gave it an A-. I think that it's not, I was thinking about giving it a B+, but I do like the foundations that it sets. I think it's a good start.
I gave it an A-, mostly because you have that feel-good feeling that you have with Ted Lasso.
You got a lot of it.
And, you know, especially coming off of a not-so-feel-good season of The Crown, it's like, oh.
Refreshing.
It is refreshing. And it does approach things with a lighter touch.
Yes.
So I do, I am looking forward to seeing that as we go through this season. Mm-hmm. So what predictions do you have?
I have a couple. Like, I think that there are certain characters that are probably going to get more screen time later on. Like, Sam had a lot of development last season. Like, he bought that restaurant. I mean, like, you have not heard anything about that yet.
No.
So I'm assuming he's probably going to have, and also his relationship with Rebecca is clearly not a focus at this point. So I'm curious to see if that changes at all.
Or if he maybe can help her get out of this stupid Rupert funk.
I hope so. Yeah, because I think that that's going to be important for her to get out of. I hope she stops. I hope she just gets over it.
Right. Because again, I love Rebecca as a character, but the obsession with Rupert, and maybe just that they are getting that actor and they're going to get more time with him. Yay. And
well,
he is a good bad guy.
He's great. You want to hate him.
Yeah, you want to hate him, and he is evil. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, Rebecca doesn't need to join forces with him. You know, she doesn't need to be a bad guy either. And I think she's going to have to be reminded of that.
Yeah. I think that's going to be big for Rebecca. Rebecca's going to try to not be controlled by her anger for Rupert again. I hope they at least address the whole relationship with Sam, because even though I didn't love it, like, I still love the characters, and they had a relationship.
Sam. I love so Sam. Great.
But
yeah.
Like, and again, he gave up that big opportunity last time and he got a restaurant. So I think that at least you should touch on it. Maybe the whole team goes to the restaurant for a night out on the town or something, because it's been like 6 weeks.
And they need to have some singing, because Rebecca can sing. She needs to sing.
That's true.
Singing would be good.
Let's see. Keely and Roy, I do agree you have to have something to work towards with them, because otherwise what's their arc going to be? Happy?
No.
But I mean, it's very rare. And I applauded for early Ted Lasso season 2 for being like, oh yeah, no, we just are portraying them as just a supportive couple, just doing their best. I mean that was great for me. And then they gave them more tension, and I was like, I don't love that, but at the same time it makes sense, because I mean, it's not going to like it would be boring otherwise. So I do agree with that. I just think that sooner rather than later, because I don't want them to like build it up for so long and then finally do it. But I mean, I know that's the whole point, but I think what's going to be important is for Keely to get her shit together and Roy to feel better about his abilities as a tactician, because that's clearly something he's struggling with, or like it is like struggling with his confidence.
Right. Yeah, because he even said, like, you know, I don't have this great tactical mind like Nate, but let's do basics kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that that those tactics working will definitely help him gain confidence. And
you know, this is part of what's interesting. So like, Roy has a default like, things are unstable, let's go back to basics. That is who he is. That is how he approaches stuff. That's how he, you know, was helping some of the players get over their stuff.
Maybe that's what they need to do with Keely and Roy. They need to figure, well, they, just in general, they need to work on themselves for them both to work as a couple.
Right, then when in doubt, that's what he does.
Yeah.
Let's get back to basics.
Yeah, and so I hope Phoebe just acts as their counselor and, like, talks to them individually, because obviously, like, Keely and Phoebe are going to hang out at some point alone, and so she's going to be like, so, how are you? All right, you need to figure this out, and now you need to do this.
I want another American Girl type episode. Like, Rebecca and Keely and Nora and
I think Phoebe's going to be the glue, and she's going to figure things out with them and individually, and then help them get back together eventually when they feel the time is right. And I think that Keely just needs to gain confidence in her position, gain control, maybe bring in some people that she trusts as, like, or just better, I don't know, people who are more, think more like her or something to brighten up the place, to at least make sure she feels confident.
Right, because she has, like, these, you know, generic type, you know, they don't have any personality.
Default office workers.
I mean, they didn't even speak other than the CFO, so.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that her getting maybe, like, an assistant or something, that's I a lot like her. I will say this,
if they spend a whole lot of time on her office dynamics, I'm going to vomit. I don't find it interesting. I don't want, honestly, I would be just as happy if she went back and worked with Rebecca.
I think she's going to maybe still work with the team, but with her PR firm, and that will get her moving more. I think she just needs to gain confidence. I hope that does not take up too much time. I don't see Roy's like arc of feeling more confident about his tactics is going to take too long in general.
It'll take a couple episodes.
But they're going to be, like, isolated, because it's just, like, tactics within a game. Like, right. They're going to start playing next episode. So, I mean, they're playing, I think, Chelsea or something.
Yeah.
And so that's going to come into play very soon. And so we're going to start getting development with that. Maybe he hits a breaking point if they lose a game or something, and he's going to feel bad or something. I don't know. Nate... I swear to God, like, obviously they're going to have to like figure him out. Like, he's going to, his bubble's going to get burst.
Yes.
Obviously it needs to, it's already starting. And I think they, like, when Ted said, like, I think they're going to have like 30 or 48 games or 38 games. I'm fairly certain that they're probably going to play West Ham at least twice, once in regular season, once in the, like, championships, or just in general, like, in that, like, last little bit, in the tournament of whatever kind. And so I think that they're going to play twice. First time, I bet Nate's going to win, and then they're going to band together, and then maybe they will tie. I don't know. I think that in general, I think that Nate's going to at least win once against them.
Yes.
And then they're going to band together, and they're going to burst his bubble. But I think that it's going to take a while for him to, he needs to undickify. Like, I mean, he just needs to calm down and just stop being such an awful person to everybody. And I think that Ted showing kindness and compassion to him is going to definitely help. I think they're going to have a talk at some point.
I think Rupert is going to stick it to Nate in the
end. Oh, he's going to be an awful person.
Rupert is a backstabbing asshole. And I can see him, as soon as things aren't going Rupert's way,
he's going to be an awful person to him. Yeah. And it's going to,
for sure,
burst his bubble even more.
Yeah.
And realize that he should have been happy where he was. And Beard, I hope we don't have a solo Beard episode again. That was not really great. No. And I don't think that we need all of that. I hope he's... breaks up with Jane.
Jane. I don't need any Jane.
I don't need any of that either, but
definitely not.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, and then Jamie, he just needs to be a better person. I don't want him to get with Keely.
No. Oh, God, no. No. Mm-mm.
I think that he could be a driving force for them to get back together, maybe, but I don't think that they should get back. Like, Jamie and Keely are not going to get back together, but I think that he might be a driving force for Roy and Keely to get back together. He might be like, y'all work too well to, like, not be together. Let's not play around. Just go. It's going to be him and Phoebe. But I think that in general, I think the team's going to, I've read like the synopsis of the next episode, like the little blurb that they give on Apple TV Plus, but it was like something like they're bringing
there's a new guy.
Yeah, there's a new guy. And so we'll see how that goes. But that's going to add more tension within the team because they're going to have to get to know the new guy. I hope he's not just a Jamie clone because that would be boring and you've already done that. But I hope he definitely helps the team. I hope it's like a Danny thing where he's
maybe
just going to
help.
Maybe
the guy that was on the dum-dum line.
Oh, that'd be interesting. But I don't know. They were looking at people who were just available in general. So I don't think he's, unless he made himself available. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I don't either. But yeah. I think I'm curious to see how this season goes. I'm excited.
Do you think that Ted's going to go back to Kansas?
They're certainly setting the stage for it. I think that once he gets his shit together and like figures out that he can move on to and have his own life, like obviously Michelle's already starting to do that with Jake or whatever his name is, but I think he's going to realize that he's done a lot of good there. And if it's fulfilling enough for him to have already, like if it's already just fulfilled him enough to do that, he probably will. But it really just depends on how the season goes. Because I don't see him, I don't like the idea of him just giving up. Because they've already like said, you're not going to give up. But like, I don't know. It just depends. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think he's going to go back?
I think this is not, I don't know that there's going to be a fourth season of Ted Lasso.
We don't know.
I think that he is going to go back to Kansas at the end of the season and that Richmond's going to be coached by Nate.
Oh, I think that's possible. Yeah.
Or by Roy, and Roy hires Nate, but I think it'll be the other way around. I think it will be Nate
and Roy being co-coaches and Coach Beard go back with.
Yeah, something like that.
Coach Beard and Ted are kind of a package deal.
They kind of are.
So.
I can totally see that as how things play out. I can see
Sam being team captain, I think would be fun.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that.
Jamie
would be.
But the one who's actually it right now, I forgot his name. He's not the goalie at all.
The guy that was having issues.
I keep thinking it's Richard, but it's not Richard. It's a different name. Oh, I feel bad.
I think it starts with an R, though.
I think it does, too.
Anyway, so, but yeah, I think that I can see that happening. I can see Roy and Keely getting together and possibly Keely being back in the fold too,
I don't think she's going to give up her entire company.
It might fail though.
Yeah, that's possible.
Like stupidly. But,
well, I think that either she's going to relinquish control or she's going to just figure things out on her own. I don't know. I hope she doesn't just like give up on the company, but like it just depends on how the season goes. We have no idea.
Yeah, and yeah, they may even start moving in that direction before the end of the season.
I think that would happen maybe mid-season.
Right, bring Nate back into the fold, that kind of thing.
I don't think Nate's going to, I think that's going to be a last two episodes kind of thing with Nate, though.
That could be. But yeah, I can see that. And you know, that predictability isn't going to bother me. What's going to bother me is if they predictably do things where they spend way too much time on side characters. Like if they spend a ton of time on the CFO for Keely's company, I'm gonna vomit. I don't need an episode of that. I don't either.
I hope they don't do too many of those like just single like episodes, just like
the Christmas episode that I love.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like the coach episode or like the Coach Beard episode. Like I hope they're not going to do too many of those like contained episodes. There's a name for it and I'm not thinking of it.
The one-offs.
Yeah, but it's not that either. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. But those self-contained ones that are just kind of it doesn't serve much of a purpose.
Right. No, I agree.
I hope that they kind of broaden the scope of like what they try with different characters and not just do the exact same thing they've done in the past. I hope they don't introduce too many characters who are just a clone of the old versions of characters so that they can learn the lesson again. If the new guy is a Jamie clone of any kind, I'm going to be so upset because we already know, or maybe it would be a chance for Jamie to talk to him about it, but I think Jamie's already learned that lesson.
Right.
But it's, yeah, we'll see. We have a whole season.
Right, we do. And we hope that you tune in and that you join us. And yes, I promise I will drink something else next time. And
whatever.
Because you don't do cheers with coffee. So, and
cheers.